we started a series several weeks ago called Reigning in Life. And we've been coming from this foundation passage. If you would, look over in Romans chapter 5. Romans, I love to say, is the Magna Carta of the gospel. It is where Paul really explains the details of the gospel. He lays it all out, explains what righteousness is, explains what the gospel is, explains the power of the gospel, explains how you get saved. It is the Magna Carta, it is the constitution of the gospel, so to speak. And in Romans chapter 5, one of my favorite chapters in Romans, Paul says this profoundly amazing statement. He says, "For if by one man's offense, death reigned through the one." If by one man's offense, what's that man's name? What's his name?
Adam.
Good, y'all didn't fall for it and go say Jesus, even though I put a little church on it right there. His name is Adam. "For if one man's offense, Adam's offense in the Garden of Eden, caused death to reign, it came through him." Death. This is why every human being is born into sin. This is why every human being is born dying, moving towards death every day, getting a day closer to death because of Adam's sin, his transgression in the garden, and because what this passage, this whole chapter is describing, the gravity of that offense, that the gravity of that transgression is so huge, it caused death to reign in the earth, and we didn't have anything to do with it. You didn't have anything to do with you being born into sin. You're just born that way because of what Adam did. We're all born into death, and that's what the Bible's saying here, but what's so important is after the comma, much more than that. Much more than the way cancer came in and rules. Much more than the way sickness and disease and poverty reign in the earth came in as a result of Adam's transgression. Much more than the gravity of that. Much more. Those who just receive two things. Those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will do what? Reign in life. And that's the title of our series. Reigning in life through one Jesus Christ. And so it's showing us this, and the whole chapter is showing us, wow, this is what Adam did, but what Jesus did was much greater. It causes you to reign over death. It causes you to reign over sin. In other words, that word reign is basileia in the Greek. It means to reign like a king, have rulership like a king. Whereas death reigned over us, sin reigned over us like a king. Now life reign, we reign in life. And so, but how that happens is by receiving these two things, abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. For the first 6 weeks of this series in volume one, all we did was talk about the gift of righteousness. That's all we did. If you weren't here, if you missed any of that, I urge you to go back and get that because we explain that it's all online. Amen? We explain that all in detail. But today, tonight, we're on part five, so we've been talking about receiving grace in abundance, and we've been explaining that, so that's where we are, and let's pick up right there. So what is the definition of grace?
Hold up.
Pastor Joe was ready to jump right into it. He left all the rest of y'all at the red light, at the green light. You get it? He jumped on the gas real quick. One of them rabbit starters here. All together, what is grace? Strength and ability to be who you're born to be and to do what you're born to do through faith, unmerited favor. And we put that after the semicolon down here, unmerited favor, because that had been just a definition that many of us had learned all along, that grace is unmerited favor. But what we're finding out in this series, that it's much, 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 much more than that. Grace is actually God's power. It's his ability. It's his strength to be who you're born to be. For by, Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace are you saved. How? Through faith. So that grace is, we're saved by God's power, God's strength, God's ability, and not of our own ability, not of our own works. And grace is unearned. We didn't do anything to make God do that for us. It was his love. We didn't do it. It was God's grace. God's grace is, part of his grace is his love. It's unearned. It's the same for everybody. And grace is too. However, grace does you no good without being coupled with faith. It is, for by grace are you saved through faith. And so the love of God does you no good if you don't know how to receive it. take it by faith. Take advantage of it. Likewise with the grace of God. The grace of God has been offered to the entire world. That's why Jesus came, to give his grace. For God so loved the world, that's grace, that he gave his only begotten son. And we found out that grace is Jesus embodied. Grace, you get grace from Jesus, isn't that right? It only comes through him, and you have to receive him how? By faith, isn't that right? Okay, so we talked about all that, and we talked about that grace is in Jesus. We found out that grace is always found. The Bible is very careful about saying grace is found. Come boldly to the throne of grace, where you, and how's it go? No, it says something about mercy first. Obtain mercy and find grace in the time of trouble. Find grace in the time of trouble. And you'll see in every passage in the Old Testament where the word grace is and someone's getting grace, the word find or found is there. Amen? And so we found that grace is found. It's found at the altar. It's found in, found at the throne of grace. It's found in Jesus. Amen? And so now what we found out too, that you can, because the Bible says receive grace in abundance, not just a little bit, receive abundance of grace. So now what we've been finding out is that you can regulate and determine that you can receive more and more grace based on something you do. And that's why I said receiving more grace is not just, you see, if we just said grace is unearned favor, it's the same for the world and you can't do anything about it. You got the same grace I do. We all got the same grace. But that's if it's unearned. You get what I'm saying? But I can increase the amount of grace. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of Jesus. Didn't we find that out? So grace can be multiplied. How? Through the knowledge of Jesus and God, right? So we found that out. But then what's more importantly, where we're at today. Here's where we are today. Are y'all ready? Where we are today is right here at James chapter 4 and 1 Peter chapter 5. And let's look at these passages. We looked at them in somewhat detail last week, but let's jump back here, all right? Are y'all in James chapter 4? Check on your neighbor. Make sure they're in James and not in Genesis. Praise the Lord. James chapter 4. What's going on, Jack? Good to see you. Watch this. Notice how last week we covered these prior verses, verse 1 through 5, because it says, but he gives more grace. You never start a thought with but. So he was telling us why we don't receive grace. What grace? Because you're fussing and all this stuff. You don't get what you want and all this kind of stuff. We covered all that last week. Listen to last week's message because it was really important. But he says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, and this quote is out of Proverbs. This is three times in the Bible. It's in Proverbs and it's in James and it's in 1 Peter. But watch what he says. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God does what? Resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble, which is the title of my message today. The title of the message today is that pride resists grace, stops grace. Pride stops grace. Now, that's vitally important right there. And so that's why he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humility attracts grace, but pride resists it. It stops grace. So we have to be able to identify what is humility and what is pride to be able to know how. Because watch, let's read on further. Go to the next one. Therefore, submit to God. Here's how you get grace, more and more grace. Here's how you humble yourself. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Now, why is it saying that? This sounds, because you hear this scripture so much by itself. Therefore, submit to God. And it's not there. You can't start a thought with therefore. Because God resists the proud, right, and gives more grace to the humble, therefore submit yourselves to God. Amen. Now, in order to receive grace for salvation, you've got to admit and submit to God and say, I'm a sinner. Amen. Pride says, no, I'm not. I don't need God. I don't need God. I don't need any of that. I'm good. Pride says, I don't need that. It doesn't receive it. But humility says, you know what? I'm a sinner. I'm going to hell unless I receive Jesus. You humbled yourself, submitting to God. Submitting to God. Oh, I don't care what God says about this. I don't care about that. That's pride. And we're going to find out that it pushes grace away. And the Bible says that God knows you from afar. Watch this. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Why resist the devil? Because the devil's nature is pride. God's nature is humility. God's nature is humility. The devil's nature is pride. Watch this. Draw near to God. Here's how you get more grace. Didn't we find that out earlier? Draw near to God and he'll do what? Draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. He says, repent of some foolishness and purify your hearts, you double-minded. This is kind of strong. This is the New Testament, isn't it? It sounded like I was reading from Exodus and Leviticus or something. Wrong. James, the brother of Jesus, half-brother of Jesus. Lament and mourn. He's saying, repent of this. Repent of the foolishness so you can get grace. That's the thought, right? Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. He's saying, repent of the foolishness that's stopping grace. Humble yourselves. Look at this. Humble yourselves so that you can see the same thought is permeating here. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. So he's saying, you got to humble yourselves, get rid of the foolishness, and God will give you more grace. So grace isn't just unearned. He's saying we've got to do something to make sure we receive more of it here. Look over at Peter. Same kind of thought, but Peter writing here. He says, likewise, you younger people. Yeah. Say amen there if you're a younger person. Amen. 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 Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Do you hear what he's saying? Look at this. And be clothed with humility. Why? Because God gives grace to the humble. It's attractive. For God resists the proud. Here it is again. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves. God, humble me. That's not what it says. Therefore, humble yourselves. Who does it? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Who does the exalting? Who does the humbling? Now watch, we're going to find this out in the scriptures. I'm going to show you today where God says, hey, if you don't humble yourself, I'll do your job and humble you. If you decide to exalt yourself, take my job, I'll take your job and humble you. We don't want that. We want to humble ourselves. Come on, somebody. Anybody like me, I don't want, come on. I've tasted this way too much. Look at this. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. Back up to verse 6 so you can see it in continuity. He says, that he may exalt, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. How? Next. Casting all your care upon him. For he cares for you. You see, it's continuing the same thought. It's talking about, how do I humble myself? I take all my cares to him. I don't try to handle it on my own. I go to him with it. No, this is where we get into the biggest problems, and this is where I've gotten into the biggest problems of my life, doing it my way. Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. That'll get you real messed up. So what he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary. So again, here, when he's talking about humbling ourselves and letting God exalt us, again, he starts talking about the devil. I want you to see the connection that the devil wants you to get in pride. It's his nature, it's his character. He wants you to live in pride. And so we got to learn today how to identify, understand clearly what humility is so we can humble ourselves. And then understand clearly what pride is from a scriptural standpoint to make sure that we're able to identify it and eradicate it. Amen? Seeking whom he may devour. One more, I think. Or is that it? Yeah. Resist him. How? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. All right. Okay, so we started with those passages, and that's where we're going to start up today, all right? Ended with those passages. Humility. Let's get definition again. Humility. Here's what humility does. Humility goes low. Humility bows down. Humility submits. Humility yields, right? Humility allows. Humility is lowly of heart. Humility depends on God and others. Humility shows dependence. I need you, God. All right? So what is pride? Pride is high-minded or high-mindedness. It's haughtiness. It's haughty. Pride has a lofty estimation of itself. It's braggadocious. I love that word right there. Isn't that a fun word to say? Pride is arrogant. Pride looks down on others. Pride is inflated. Now, here's what really hit where the rubber meets the road for me, is self-centered. Pride is self-centered. It's concerned about itself and not others. Pride is self-dependent. Pride is self-sufficient. I can do this. Pride is independence from God. Pride is, we do things our way. We're going to do it our way. We don't consult with God. Are you with me? Pride is just is getting up and say, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to go. Humility is going before God and saying, I need your help today. Lord, I need your help. I wouldn't dare leave this house without consulting you, without praising you, without looking for your guidance throughout my day at work. It's preventing me from accidents. It's preventing me from, did y'all see on the news of a young boy shot? Drive-by shooting here in the city, right? Young, I don't remember how old, 17 years old or something like that? Young kid. One of my friends on Facebook and their son. And we need protection on our kids. Humility says, Lord, I need you. I need your protection. I need your provision. I need your wisdom. I can't do it on my own. If y'all haven't figured out yet, we can do nothing without him. And arrogance just goes ahead and does it. Amen? Are y'all with me? All right, so let's go in a little bit deeper. Remember last week we talked about this, that humility is God's nature and pride is Satan's nature. Humility is always God-centered and pride is self-centered, right? We saw that in Lucifer. He said, I want to be like God. I want to sit in the Most High's place. I want to do all this. But he wanted to do it independent of God. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ. No problem with that. God didn't have a problem with that. But it's with him. It's because of him. You all with me? Humility operates and accepts the truth. Pride believes, propagates, and protects lies. Pride puffs itself up, tells people it's something that it really isn't, but then lies to protect that. Has to lie to protect that I really don't have the education that I make everybody the impression that I have. I want to give everybody the impression that I make more money than I really do. So I got to propagate those lies and protect those lies. Pride will make you try to appear to be something you're not. Humility operates and accepts the truth, spiritually and physically. Are you with me? Now, there's two truths. There's a fact that I may be sick, but the truth is by his stripes I'm healed. But in order to receive the healing, I got to accept the truth that the fact that I've got some sickness. Come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? All right. Now, this is one thing that I wanted to make sure that we don't forget this, that our world and the culture today pushes this self-image, this self-image, this self-esteem. You need better self-esteem. I mean, when you look on TV and you hear, it's all about me. I'm this and I'm that. I can do this. And it's self-image. But the Bible never promotes self-image. The Bible 100% of the time promotes self-denial and Christ image. We can't, now watch, many churches have adapted this self-image philosophy. Right. I can do all things through Christ. No, it's the Christ part that makes you able to do the all things. That's right. You know what I'm saying? You've heard all these confessions and these affirmations, but it's about who you are in Christ. Look at this. I want to make sure we know this, and I'll cover this, and then we're going into new material. Ready? Matthew chapter 16, we covered several verses in the Gospels that say this same thing. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, anyone, that means it's a spiritual law, let him do what? Deny himself. Not build up his self-esteem. Deny himself. Christianity is about denying yourself. Watch this. And take up his cross and follow me. His cross. Jesus said, "What anyone who desires to follow me, he has to take up, deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Why his cross? Because just like Jesus took God on the cross, what was the cross about? Was the cross about his sin? It was our sin. The cross was all for us. Jesus had no sin. Jesus died. He would have never died if he hadn't taken our sin. If he had not taken our sin, he would still be able to walk on the earth because he is alive. He lives forever. His body would have lived forever. Y'all get that? The reason he died is because he was dying our death. And this is why the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and 7, it's talking about we died with Christ. You literally died with Christ. If believers will get this, Jesus died for you and as you. Because of you and me. You get it? He died for us as us. And Romans 6 explains that, and since we reckon ourselves dead, do y'all get this? The old you is dead.
Right. That's it.
And you have to reckon yourselves as died with him. When he died on the cross, it wasn't his sins. Whose sins were they?
Our
sins. It was our sins that were buried with him. So he died as us, for us. And the Bible says, when he resurrected into new life. Therefore, we live as a resurrected life. The old you is gone. Sin no longer has dominion over you, but the Bible says you must reckon yourselves dead. Come on, somebody. Him taking up the cross was not for him, but for us. So he says, deny yourself. If you're going to follow me, it's that same truth and principle. Listen, now that sounds real painful and bad, and it can be at times. Dying to yourself. Come on, y'all. But look at the next part. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life, that self-denial, for my sake, will actually find it. What Jesus is saying, you think you're living a real life by investing in you, self-image. I got to be better. I can do everything. He's saying, no, if you'll lose your life and find mine, you'll actually really find your real life.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Are y'all seeing that?
Yeah.
So it's this great exchange of his life for our life. It's not self-image. It's Christ image. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Amen. So y'all get what I'm saying? So oftentimes pride is built in me, what I do. But we don't have that. Where's boasting then?
Yeah.
It's gone when it's him that did it.
Right.
Our strength is in him. Grace is his strength. His ability. That's why Paul said, I boast now in my weaknesses, my infirmities. Because where I'm weak, he's strong. Are you with me? And this is how we get grace. We resist grace when we go, I can do it. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I need your grace. Come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? So what profit is it if he gains the whole world? And you can do a lot in your flesh. And the Bible talks about it in Corinthians. The Bible talks about when all of us stand before the throne of God, that our works will be judged by fire. The ones that are wood, stubble, and hay will burn up. What is that? That's works done in your flesh that had no eternal value. And you may be able to have bragging rights and look how big my pile of ashes is. Probably not. Y'all get what I'm saying? It's going to be burned. But there are things, and this is what Jesus is saying, to have real life. And this is why we've got to be able to, as believers, to get this eternal perspective versus just my best life now. No, this is not your best life now. This can be a good life, but we have a life after this. And it's going to be significantly better, but how we live now will determine how that is. And we're all going to heaven, and it's all going to be good. But our life is not just to be lived here. When you only think about here, you do everything to get more and more and more. It becomes this very temporal, getting stuff life. And life is about, we lose the whole perspective of our Christianity. It becomes this worldly Christianity and prideful Christianity. And those two words don't go together. Are y'all with me? And God said, I resist that. All right, are y'all with me? Okay, good. All right, we covered all that. Now, last week I skipped over this one. I was showing you all these samples of humility in the scriptures, and I didn't get to this one. Jesus, look at this. We covered one of the passages, but I didn't get to this one. Turn over to Matthew. You all remember this. Matthew chapter 11. Jesus is our picture of humility because he is the express image of God. God is actually humble. Even though he sits high, he's humble. Watch this. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, I'm reading the NIV. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Oh, we got to learn so much about that. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Why? Because I'm gentle and humble. Get yoked up to me and learn from me because I'm humble. If I'm lowly and humble, get hooked up to me and learn from me. Why? Because I'm humble, gentle and humble of heart, and you'll find rest for your souls.
Right.
If you get linked up to this humility, linked up to me with my humility, right, you're going to find yourself in rest.
Right.
Are you with me? You're not going to worry about anything. That's exactly what it is. All right? Now, how was Jesus humble? Look over in Philippians chapter 2. And let's begin at verse 3, New King James Version. Are you learning already? Watch this, Philippians chapter 2. Paul says here, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves, himself. Hold on. Why? We've all been, the natural course of the flesh is me, my four, and no more. Watch out for me. Protect number one. God's way is, and it's the way to promotion. He's saying, this is how I promote you. You start considering others. And really, it is a great, great principle of humility. He's saying, everywhere you go, if you'll consider others, if you'll not just think of you. Now, y'all, such a foreign concept to humanity. But this is the Christian concept. But the culture is so much against this. This is what Christianity is. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Not just for my own good, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That's how we should work. That's how we should be in our marriage. Everything. But watch, he's going to explain how Jesus did it. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. If you only go to work thinking of you and your paycheck and your money, come on, think about it. If you went there and you're a barber, that's such a good example, of course, since I have no more hair. And you walk into the barber and they say, okay, that's gonna be $20. Well, hold up, you haven't cut my hair yet. If they're only interested in their money, come on, you know they don't care about you.
Right.
But what's gonna bless you if they're making sure you're very happy, and then you want to bless them, right? And it's that way in everything in life. Watch this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Look at this. Next. Who being in the form of God, verse 6, who being in the form of God, you've seen it in translation, it says, he was actually God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Next. But made himself of no reputation. In other words, what the Bible is saying here is Jesus, who was God himself, did not think it's something to keep that, to walk around going, hey, y'all better bow down. I'm God up in here. Stop tripping.
Right.
He didn't come in the earth like that. And that's why everybody was confused, because he came as a servant. But he made himself of no reputation. He didn't go bragging about him and who he was. Taking the form of a bondservant. What? So he steps down from heaven, God who created everything, and steps into the earth as a, first of all, as a man. That's a step down from God. Can you say amen right there?
Amen.
Say it a little bit stronger so I'm convinced
amen.
You know that. Yes, it is. He stepped down and became a man in the earth, and not only a man, but taking the form of a bondservant.
Yeah.
Many of us don't want to consider ourselves a servant. He, the God of heaven and earth, became a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Next. And being found in the appearance as a man, which is already humbling himself as God, right? He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. All right, so he humbled himself and became a man, became a servant, and now he's going to die?
Amen.
He doesn't have to die. He's God.
Right.
Obedient to the point of death. What? Even the death of the cross. No, not just a death, the death of a criminal.
Right.
Having never done crime. But he died as a criminal. Why? With our sins.
Amen.
He died as us for us, right? Right? Therefore, because of how he humbled himself, God also has highly exalted him. So God highly exalted him because he humbled himself. That's the way of God. Let this same mind be in you. As Jesus humbled himself, so humble yourselves and become a servant. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. So he could have come and go, hey, look, I'm God. Y'all better act right. Didn't do that. Came and let them spit, his own creation, spit on him, beat him, crucify him, and he's God. Humbled himself. Therefore, God raised him up, gave him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Do you know this? Here's how blessed we are. God has given us revelation that Jesus is Lord, and we decided to bow now. Come on. Every knee is going to bow. When unbelievers stand before God, at before his great white throne of judgment, they are going to bow down and go, certainly, yes, Jesus is Lord. Every knee will bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. We've chosen to do it now, which gives us this brand new life. Aren't you glad that God has given us revelation about that? As a believer, you're on your way to heaven. You've already died to sin. There's no more death. This thing is out of death for you. Amen? Look at this. Look at how awesome this is. That every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to his glory, to the glory of the Father. Even in that, Jesus is saying, no, not to my glory, to his glory. Are y'all with me? He refused, and even while he was here on earth, he said, I don't do anything of my own. I do only what the Father tells me to do. Are you with me? He lived this life of submission, and the Bible is telling us that's what brings you more grace. Watch this. God resists the proud. Many of us have thought that the devil is against us, and it's God that has resisted us because of pride. So we've got to understand where pride is and how to identify it and eradicate it. Can you say amen? Amen. The Bible tells us these great stories, and last week I showed you a few of them. But one of the greatest stories of humility is Joseph. Joseph in the Bible. Y'all remember Joseph? The 12th son. Benjamin was the 12th, but Joseph was the 11th son of the tribes of Israel, sons of Israel, right? And if you remember the story, he is a type and shadow of Jesus. He's a picture of Jesus in the Bible. Remember, his brothers were against him because he had a dream. He had a dream that God had given him when he was a very young man, 18 years old or 17 years old or so, had this dream that he would be exalted real high. And it, of course, in his immaturity, he began to tell his brothers. Well, they hated him. They hated him and threw him into a pit. Remember? Threw him into a pit, thought him to be dead. He wasn't dead. Then decided to sell him off into slavery. One of the brothers said, no, let's not kill him. Let's sell him. Let's make some money off of this deal. It was Judah, by the way. Sold him off into slavery. And he ended up being a slave in the chief executioner's house. Right? Potiphar's house. The chief executioner, Potiphar. And while he's being sold off into slavery, he's being sold off, shackled and chained. When he gets to Potiphar's house as a slave, the Bible, when it first starts talking about it, says, but he was a prosperous man. He was a prosperous man, which in chains and fetters and as a slave. What made him a prosperous man was his humility and him knowing who he was, not based on his circumstances. He was still who he was regardless of what was going on around him. In fact, in the position as a slave, he was put over all the rest of the slaves because he was so humble and served so well. Amen. Served with a great attitude, even knowing that's not where he's supposed to be. Right. This is so paramount in destiny. And understanding the truth about how you get to do what God's called you to do. Right. It's by being who you're called to be, regardless of what the circumstances you're in. As a slave, the Bible says he was promoted. Potiphar promoted him because he took such good care of everything. As a slave, he's one of the sons of Israel. Right. He's a slave now, and he has a great attitude. The wife of Potiphar sees him because he's a good-looking man. You know, the Bible says he's a handsome young man. And she wants to sleep with him. Straight out, she keeps saying, will you sleep with me? Amen. And one day while he was in the house by himself, she grabs his coat and then says, tells her husband, the chief executioner Potiphar, that your boy raped me. So from the pit to slavery, now he goes to prison for a sexual crime he didn't commit. And while he's there, the Bible says he's promoted. Why is he promoted? Hold on. He has this dream that he's going to be highly exalted, and now he's in prison. Why? Because he's humbled there too and serves. Serves so well, y'all got to hear this. Serves so well that he's put over all the rest of the prisoners in prison. This isn't what I'm called to do. He could have got a real bad attitude and said, I forget this. This serving God stuff is crap. This ain't working out like many Christians do. But how you get promoted is not trying to promote yourself. It's being humble and serving right where you are with a great attitude. And while he's in prison for a crime he didn't commit, he's got an awesome attitude. How do you know it? Because two of the prisoners who came into prison, the butler and the baker, got there, and Joseph sees them, and he says, why are you walking around looking sad? Are you kidding? We're in prison. He said, hello, I was here when you got here. And I'm innocent. And you're sad, and I'm not. Are y'all with me? Yeah. So he tells them his dreams. Remember, they tells them one's going to live, the baker dies, the butler lives. The butler's getting ready to be sent back to the king, to Pharaoh, right? And so he tells him, Joseph tells him, look, I'm telling you, man, your life is saved. Here's why. Go tell Pharaoh that I'm in here, that I interpret dreams, so on and so forth. What did he do? He forgot. Now he's in prison for a crime he didn't commit, after being in the pit, after being a slave. Now he's in prison, and now the dude who he helped forgot about him. He's in prison for 2 more years for a crime he didn't commit. Forgotten about, but he's got a great attitude. Do y'all hear what humility is? Humility is, wherever I am, I'm still a believer. I'm still born again. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. It's who I am that's going to change my position. Right. Not what I do. I'm gonna really praise God once I get that job, or once I get this contract, or once I get this wife, or I get this spouse, or once I get that car or that house. Wrong. Right where you are, thank you, Jesus. I'm in prison. I know I'm not supposed to be here. But even where I am, Paul said, it doesn't matter. I've learned to either I'm abased or I'm abound. I've learned to be content wherever I am, because it's who I am.
Right.
He'll preach in prison. He'll preach to the church. He'll preach in the temple. He'll preach while you're stoning him. Why? Because that's who I am.
Right.
We are born again believers. We have to be consistent. And the consistency is humility on the freeway, humility at home, at school, at work. Come on, somebody. Are y'all learning yet? Amen, amen. Because we think, well, I'm not being blessed, so I can't do that. I can't come to church. I can't praise God. No, it's in those times when things aren't right is when it's true test. Are you a believer or are you a faker? Am I still smiling? I can't tell because I got my retainers in. All right. Is that too strong? Okay, go. Okay, so Joseph finds out the Pharaoh has a dream. Joseph interprets a dream. In one day, everything turns around for him, and he's raised to the second in charge of Egypt. In one day, everything turned around after years of struggle and difficulty. But throughout all those years in prison, 14 years in prison, through the pit, through all the stuff, slave, he still ends up praising God and staying consistent. And watch, the day comes. Now he's blinging. You know what I mean? Y'all seen the Egyptian, those movies with Pharaoh and stuff? He's got the big long gold. Come on, Run DMC chains and bracelets, full arm bracelets, 4-finger rings. I'm dope. You know, he's got those nugget gold. He's all laced out. He's got the eye makeup. He's got the big hat, and he can speak Egyptian. So he's speaking Egyptian. And his brothers, now they need some food. He's in charge of all the food for everything going out. And they come to him, and of course, you know, they want to make some food, and y'all remember the whole story. But the bottom line was, he knew who they were, but they didn't recognize him.
Right.
It's all a type and a shadow. Jesus came to his own, but his own knew him not.
Right.
And that's what it was. It's a picture. He came to them, and they didn't know him. But then when he reveals himself, they're terrified. Why? Because they know we did you wrong. Now look at you. You're in power, and we need you. That dream you had came to pass. But what does Joseph do? He comes over and starts hugging and kissing them and crying and say, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. And you've got to know that wherever you are in life, wherever you are in life, whatever position, whatever state you find yourself in, although the devil may mean it for evil, God means it for good. And he will turn it around with your attitude being proper. Come on, somebody, say I'm a believer. Saul did the exact opposite. Saul, you remember Saul, the first king of Israel? Saul did the exact opposite. Israel wanted a king. God said, you don't need a king. They said, we got to have a king. Give us a king. He said, I'm going to give you a king. Here he is, Saul. And he was head and shoulders above everybody else. And he was a great young man, a fine young man. And the Spirit of God came upon him. And he was doing great for a while.
Right.
Till it got to his head.
Yes.
Till it got to his head. And that power and that being raised up really got to him. And so he started doing things that he wasn't supposed to do, offering sacrifices. Samuel said, I'm going to be there in the morning, and I'm going to offer the sacrifice. Samuel said, you came too late, so I did it myself. Saul said that. I couldn't wait for you. What are you talking about? How am I supposed to wait on you? I ain't got no time for that. Pride is impatient. I ain't got no time for that. I had to offer it myself. You know, we ain't about in the war. These people ready to get going. I'm trying to wait on you up in here. I ain't no time to be waiting on the prophet, on the man of God. Let me get back here. Y'all didn't like all that. Are y'all listening to me? How many want more grace? I want some more grace. I'm ready to humble myself. Saul didn't do it. Let me just show you this one passage so I don't take up all the time talking about Saul. But he repeatedly disobeyed God. Pride does not know how to follow instructions. Pride knows better than the instruction that's been given. He said, I'm going to do it my way. Once again. And so he said, I'm going to do it my way. And he did it his way. And you remember in 1 Samuel 15, turn there. 1 Samuel 15, I believe. The whole thing is all about that, those whole chapters. But look at verse 17. We'll look at verse 15 and 17. They put it up there? Yes, and then I'm going to look at verse 22. Y'all remember the story? They were supposed to be going to war with the Philistines, and God told them to go kill all the Philistines, kill the kids, kill the animals, kill everything. But Saul and them decided, well, we keep the night. Hold up. Don't be killing them horses right there. Those are the good horses. I need those. He decided, no, this is smarter. God don't know what he's talking about. We need that good stuff. Don't kill that. And don't kill King Agag either. So he decided to do it his way, right? Pride doesn't follow instructions. So when Samuel came and he said, hey, what is all that noise I hear in the background? He said, oh, well, that's the sheep. We decided to keep those. Whoa, I thought God said this, this, and this. Well, the people, he started blaming everybody else. Pride always blames, by the way. Never takes responsibility. But watch this. And you have to read the stories. They're amazing stories. But watch what Samuel, the prophet, shows up. He says, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? God promoted you and made you king when you saw yourself small.
Right.
Remember, he didn't think he was qualified. He was hiding when they said, you're going to be the king. They had to go and put, son, get out from behind them boxes. It's you. He was terrified. He didn't know. I need you, God, to show me what to do. And this is what happens in life. This is what happens in life. We start getting self-confident and not Christ-confident because we knocked that out of the park a couple times. You with me? And now we go, oh, yeah, I'm pretty cool with this, man. And just inadvertently start forgetting the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. When you were small in your own eyes, and did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? When you were small in your own eyes, God anointed you. He lifted you up. But look at verse 22. He goes on and tells him what he didn't do, what you didn't do. So Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, it is better to It is better to obey. Obey is better than to sacrifice, and to heed than the fat rams. There's another verse I'm looking for. 23, go to the next one. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. His pride did that. Are y'all with me? And that's where David came in. Come on, somebody. And David was a man after God's own heart. Even though he blew it many times, he always came back humble and said, Lord, help me. Help me. Come on, somebody. Y'all listen to me. All right, all right. Now, here's what we're going to do. The effects and the results of pride. I want to cover from the scriptures. Show us, first of all, the effects and the results of pride. And then we're just going to look at signs and symptoms of pride real quickly. And then we're going to talk about how to get rid of pride in my heart. And then we're going to get some chicken. All right? Number one, effects and results of pride. We've said these passages a couple times already. James 6, 4 and 6, and 1 Peter 5 and 5. Pride hinders promotion. Pride hinders promotion. Pride is the enemy of promotion. Are you with me? We already read that. Humble yourselves under my, all that, right? God gives grace to the humble and resists the proud. Number two, pride brings shame. Pride will bring you to shame and embarrassment. Proverbs 11 and 2. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Number three, all strife is rooted in pride. Prideful people are contentious people. Strife. By pride, here it is, Proverbs 13 and 10. By pride comes nothing but strife. Now, this is a hard saying right here. And wouldn't you, can't you think back? When you get into difficult times with people, family members, isn't it pride that comes up? Even if you fuss with your wife or your kids or something. It's the thing that we resolve is say, hey, I might be wrong. Pride don't let us think we're wrong, though. Pride makes you go, I'm right and you're wrong. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Can be wrong as the day is long, but I'm not going to admit it. Come on, somebody. Are y'all listening to me? Yeah. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. You always see this. You see pride matched against wisdom. Wow. All right? Number four, the Lord destroys the house of the proud. The Lord does what? The Lord does, not the devil. The Lord does. The devil loves you to be in pride. Watch this. Proverbs 15 and verse 25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. That's enough right there, right? Next, pride precedes destruction and failure. Pride will bring about destruction in your marriage, destruction in your business, destruction in your finances. Pride will. Doing it your way. Proverbs 16 and 18. Pride goes before destruction. We've all heard this one. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride will bring you low. Proverbs 29 and 23. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Come on, how many of y'all don't want to be brought low? I want God to exalt me. Amen. I want him to lift me up. Okay, here's one of my favorite ones right here. Turn over in your Bible or just look up on the screen. It's at Daniel chapter 5 and verse 20. Book of Daniel chapter 5 and verse 20. Remember, I read this to you. I read in chapter 4 or 5 last week about King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar was exalted to power and majesty by God to capture and enslave the children of Israel because they were in unbelief. They rebelled against God. So God was raising up enemies to go against them. Whew. Are you with me? And so King Nebuchadnezzar was one of those guys. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were on his court, right? They were Jews that had been captured and he had put on the court. Some of the sharpest and smartest he wanted on his court. So he took them. But Daniel, watch. When King Nebuchadnezzar, and I read it to you last week, he started walking around his kingdom, which God had blessed him with. He started saying, look at my majesty, this kingdom that I have built. Look at all this. Man, this is great. I'm amazing. And he started glorying in himself and just getting all high on himself, right? And remember what happened? He ended up, for so long of a period of time, he ended up out in the wild. He had completely lost his mind. His fingernails was grown, his hair had grown all crazy. He was eating outside the grass. He was living like a wild animal. And then it says he came back to himself when he looked up to the Lord and looked up to heaven. When he started recognizing God, he came back to his senses again and started magnifying God. Well, Daniel explains what happens right here. He says, but when his heart, King Nebuchadnezzar, was lifted up and his mind and spirit were hardened so that he dealt proudly. I want you to see here that pride hardens your mind and your spirit so that he dealt proudly. Do you remember this with Pharaoh when Moses was trying to deliver the children of Israel? And the Bible keeps saying Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He was had this hard heart. He was proud. No way I'm letting y'all go. And pride hardened his heart. And after his heart was hardened, then the Bible went on and said, then God hardened his heart to show a point, to make it so he would get defeated. All right? But watch this. You see that? He was disposed from his kingly throne and his glory was taken from him. Look at Obadiah. I just want to show you something that pride does. It hardens the mind and heart. Obadiah, just in case you can't find it, is after the major prophets. After Proverbs and Psalm, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, then you get the major prophets like Isaiah and them. Then you get the minor prophets. By the time service will be over, by the time you find it. So here it is. Let's take a picture of it. It's one chapter. Watch this. Watch this, y'all. The pride of your heart has deceived you. Pride is very difficult to see in oneself. Very easy to see in others, but almost impossible to see in yourself. God has to reveal it to you. Very hard to see. I ain't got no pride. What are you talking about? You don't want my... You get what I'm saying? The pride of your heart has deceived you. This is a frightening thing right here. You who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Who gonna check me, boo? Who gonna check me, boo? That's how I get this. Who's gonna check me? You get that pride? That's that pride. Who gonna check me? Pride in the heart says, I'm sitting up here. Who in the world can bring me low? If you read on, it goes on, God will bring you low. Because you set yourself high, I'm going to bring you low. We don't want that. None of us want that. We want to humble ourselves and let him exalt. We don't even want to exalt ourselves with our own strength. Because where you put yourself, you and your ability have to keep you there. But when God puts you there, no one can remove you. Come on, somebody. All right? Who gonna check me, boo? All right, let me move off of that. Pride hardens the heart, mind, and deceives us. See, y'all see that? It deceives us. It makes us think we're something that we're not and then lie to cover it and keep propagating that. All right, next. Psalms 138 and verse 6. God knows the proud from afar. This is what I wanted you to see. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly. But the proud he knows from afar. We don't want that. As a believer, this is how you cut off grace. You're saved, but God knows you from afar now. This is why he says, and remember we read it already, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. If you got pride, it keeps you far away from me. And unfortunately, many never even recognize it. Come on, somebody. Is that good news? Mark that in your Bible. All right, we've all heard of this one. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. I'm almost done. Proverbs chapter 6, y'all heard this? There are six things the Lord hates and seven are abomination to him. An abomination. Y'all know what an abomination is? It's nasty to God. It's stinking his nostrils. It's repulsive to God, right? The Bible talks about things like sex with animals, homosexuality, lesbianism, as abominations. God hates it. You can read it in Leviticus. And we all go, oh yes, amen, that's an abomination. That's right, preacher. Well, let's look at these things that God says. By the way, these are abominations too. Watch this. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. Here's the first one. Next. A proud look. Pride, the first one. A lying tongue. Pride always lies. Hands that shed innocent blood. Next. A heart which devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift to running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. There it is. One who sows discord among the brethren. Seven things. All of them are rooted in pride. Are you with me? All of those things rooted in pride. And the Bible says that's an abomination. Hold up. Do y'all get how bad pride is to God? God is lowly, yet he sits on high, but these things are abhorrent to him. Proverbs 8 and 13, I just wanted to support what we just read. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way and the perverse mouth. God says, I hate that. I hate pride. Here's the number one way to get rid of it. Know that. If you really love God, things he hates, you don't want to be a part of. Come on, somebody. And the closer you get to God, the more you will hate that. Yeah. Are y'all with me? All right, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Look over at Proverbs 16 and 5. Everyone proud in heart is a what? An abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. Proverbs 21 and 4. Yeah. A haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. I just wanted you to see the Bible supports that. God hates pride. Now, here's signs and symptoms of pride. We're getting ready to go home. Y'all learning? Good. Signs and symptoms of pride. I got a bunch of them here. I'm just going to go through them real quickly. All my notes are available online, www.destinygso.org. I want to say leestokes.org every time. All right, pride. Number one, pride loves to talk positively about itself and critically of others. Come on, before I go through this list, let me say this. Pride is part of our human nature, the fallen nature. It's part of it. All of us have pride in us. All of us do. So don't start thinking, oh, I don't have that one. I'm pretty good. This is part of our nature. Come on, have y'all noticed it in your kids? It starts real young. Babies. Babies could care less about what's going on. Give me a bottle now. I don't care what y'all are doing. That lasts until you drive that out of them. Come on, somebody. Y'all notice that? It really gets bad when they're teenagers, too. Have you checked that? Praise the Lord. All right, pride. Here we go. Pride insists on being seen or noticed. Pride hates being overlooked. Did I mention that pride loves talking positively about itself and critical of others? Do y'all notice that? Is that, come on, aren't we all guilty of that to some extent? Come on, do we all look at other things and go, that's ridiculous. That's the craziest thing I ever saw. Do you realize that if it weren't for the grace of God, you would have, stop, do not get it twisted. You can get caught up in some foolishness that you would never believe you'd be in if it weren't for the grace of God. Hear me, your flesh is no good. Paul said it real plainly in Romans chapter 7, verse 18. In my flesh, in me is no good thing. That is in my flesh. It's no good. Your flesh isn't getting better the longer saved you are. Oh no, I used to be on crack, but not anymore. Your body will still want some crack. Your body will still want to get drunk. The only thing that's keeping you sane is the grace of God. Do not get it twisted. You are no good in and of yourself. You are no, none of us are. Come on, y'all. We could be watching you on 48 Hours next week. Okay, maybe a year or so, you can fall out of church, divorce your spouse, get married to some wacko, and then before you know it, we see you on 48 Hours like, dang! What happened? They used to usher. Then they got mad at something at church. And look at them now, they're on 48 Hours. Dang. I can't stand this usher. These people be driving me crazy. Come on, y'all. Come on. Do y'all hear us? All right, let me move on. I got a whole long list here. Okay, positively talking about it. Insists on being seen or noticed. Pride wants to be recognized. They didn't notice me when I walked in. Number three, pride doesn't show sincere interest in others, but looks out for itself. Not sincere interest in others. Somebody telling you their testimony, well, you know the Lord, y'all, the Lord did this. And you say, well, yeah, that's great. But the Lord, then they got to finish it with their testimony. Like, I wasn't asking you. I'm trying to tell you my testimony. But you got to outdo it. Have you ever heard people, you tell them something, and then they got to tell you this. But then, well, hold up, but God blessed me with a new car. Well, mine is a so-and-so. But I've got electric windows. But I've got heated seats. Like, stop. Pride doesn't need to get impressed. Pride doesn't get impressed. Pride has to outdo the next one. Are you with me? You telling your story. I want to tell mine bigger. You think that's something? Right? Next, four. Pride is not easily impressed. Pride is that you kind of along the same lines right there. Pride is not easily impressed. Pride does not care if somebody did something, a great accomplishment, some testimony, something. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Pride's language is lies and exaggeration. Pride likes to say there is 1,000 people there when there's only 200. Preachers are good at that. I have to correct myself in that. Like, God, no, it is not. This is what it is. Pride lives in lies and exaggeration. Why? Because you want to make yourself look bigger and better. God doesn't need your help. You do not have a PhD. You have a GED. GED. Three letters, just different ones. You do not make that much money on your job. But you want us to think that. So you drive this, but make this. You get what I'm saying? Oftentimes, and don't take offense to these things. Sometimes you like different things, but oftentimes we just gotta check, and that's what we're doing. Amen. Buying this house, even though I know, good God, have you ever been into somebody's new house and it's, hello? We can make the payment, but not furniture. Pride is often and easily embarrassed because pride is so touchy about who they are, and their whole pride is built on that. They're very often and easily embarrassed. You can embarrass them and hurt their feelings. Oh my, they're offended easily. That's another one. But next, pride is angry, in strife, and often offended. Pride is always mad at people. Pride is mad on the highway. Pride is mad in the parking lot. Pride is mad at the mall because they're too slow. Pride is mad. Has that attitude all the time because everybody don't do anything right. Except me. Come on, y'all. I'm trying to make it so y'all can stomach it. But God's saying, I hate this. All right? All right. Pride is very impatient and often irritated by others everywhere. Very impatient. Come on, y'all. Pride is impatient. Because you ain't got no time for that. I got to be somewhere. I got somewhere to go, and you talking to me too much. I got to go somewhere and need the traffic all driving stuff. Train coming, all this stuff. I ain't got no time for that. Who gonna check me, boo? I just love that. I love it. That's so fun to say. It's so proper. Pride lives for name brands to impress people. All right, I know I'm walking on delicate land here. Walking careful. Got to have a name brand. If somebody says, hey, look at my new purse. That ain't a... Come on, y'all. Y'all see how we can get caught up in foolish stuff? And you ain't taking none of that to heaven with you. Like, Lord, can I please take this Gucci back? Lord, I need these red bottom shoes in heaven. Lord, if I could just draw, I know those chariots of fire, but if I could just have this BMW in heaven, I'm going to be all right. Yes, it's 1978 now. But Come on, y'all. We all, it's so easy to get caught up in stuff and forget what the real purpose of life is. Are y'all all right? Anybody mad yet in strife? Y'all want to get in strife with me right now over this? Okay, okay, okay. Who gonna check me, boo? All right. Pride is unreasonable and irrational. I don't know why. It don't even matter. Just do it. It's because I'm tired of this. Unreasonable and irrational. Come on, somebody. Pride hates to serve or give, but loves to be served and receive. Pride don't serve. I ain't got no time for that. I'm just barely making it to church on time anyway. I ain't got no time to be serving. Somebody need to serve me. I'm saying it on Wednesday. I'm practicing on you all. See how well. Need to up my security by Sunday. Just kidding. All right. Pride does. Pride. And remember what Jesus said. Jesus came to serve. That's what he came to do. Ooh, I'm running late. Pride thinks some people or some things are beneath them. Pride thinks some people or some things are beneath them. That's prideful. All of us could find ourselves somewhere we don't want to be if it weren't for the grace of God. Pride hates admitting wrongs or sincerely saying I'm sorry. Pride can't say I'm sorry. You're sorry. Pride is argumentative and defensive. Pride doesn't like to follow instructions but must do things its way. Pride hates to receive instruction, and pride hates submitting. How do I get rid of pride in my heart? Here we go. This is going to take me a couple minutes. Can y'all give me 2 minutes? Yes, number one, learn what God says about pride, remembering God hates pride. What we're doing right now will help you identify pride. This is why we got to do it, because we want to remove pride from our life. The moment we start saying, I wish so-and-so were here, that's prideful. You're here. You're here. Stop thinking about everybody else. Pride always thinks somebody else needs this and not me. Okay, did I get past that one? Everybody all right? That was 10 of my seconds right there. Let's go to the left. Turn in your Bible. Y'all got to see this. Ooh, I love this. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Put it up there for me because y'all don't have time. We got to hurry up. Deuteronomy 17. Reading the word daily will make you more sensitive to pride. You know it if you read the Proverbs, because almost every proverb says something about pride. But look at Deuteronomy chapter 17. 17 verse 18 through 20. I'm going to read in NLT. Also it shall be when he sits on the throne as king. Say I'm a king and a priest. So this is to us. Watch this. He sits on the throne as king. He must copy for himself this body of instruction on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. He must always keep that copy with him. The king must. Copy of the Bible, right? Keep it and read it daily as long as he lives. Read it how often? Daily, as long as he lives. That way he will learn to fear the Lord by his God by obeying all the terms of these instructions and decrees. This regular reading will prevent him from becoming proud and acting as if he is above his fellow citizens. It will also prevent him from turning away from these commands in the smallest way, and it will ensure that he and his descendants will reign for many years. Generations in Israel. Reading the word daily. Listen, I know we all know to do that. And I know we all know you're supposed to do that. You should do that. The question is, do we do it? Don't even say amen or anything. Just keep looking straight ahead. And let me move to the next one so we can go get some chicken. Number three, ask yourself these three questions. I want to get rid of pride in my heart. Ask yourself these three questions. Why do I want that? Why do I need that house? Why do I want that house? Maybe you do, but why do I want it? Why do I need that car? Why do I need it right now? Why do I want that suit? Why do I need that? What is the purpose for that? Ask yourself, why do I want that? Self-examination, that's all this is. Number two, why did I say that? Why, after they gave their testimony, did I have to show them that mine was bigger? Why did I have to say that to them? Why did I exaggerate that? You want to put that stuff to a stop? Just bust yourself right then. You know what? I'm lying. What in the heck I'm saying? That is a lie, a flat out lie. I'm dealing with some pride in my life. Just pray for me. Forgive me. That was absolutely a lie. Forgive me. The truth of the matter is I'm broke. Broke. I don't know why I'm trying to tell you this. I'm trying to impress. The devil is a liar. And I find myself being a liar too. I'm lying. Come on, anybody want to get rid of it, man? I want to be what God wants me to be. Amen. Why does that bother me? Why, when they said that to me, did I take offense? Why does that bother me? Did it not give me the props that I feel I deserve? Did they not give me the respect they were supposed to? Why did I have to do that? Why does that bother me? Ask yourself that. Come on, self-examination with this. Number four, let me show you this scripture. Ask the Lord to show you pride. Look at this. And we're almost there. We're almost there. Job chapter 33, verse 14 through 18, NLT. Are you all right? For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. God tries to show us things, but we don't hear it or recognize it. He speaks in dreams and visions of the night when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds. I'm going to give you a nugget, a secret here. Hit the next one. Next verse. Yeah. He whispers in their ears and terrifies them with warnings. When they're asleep. He makes them turn from doing wrong. He keeps them from pride. He protects them from the grave, from crossing over the river of death. What is he saying? He's saying here, if you go before you go to sleep and you lay down and say, God, show me if there's pride in my heart. Show me if there's things in my heart you need me to change. I'm not hearing you. I'm stuck in life. I'm not hearing you. Speak in my sleep when my thoughts are down and just my subconscious is weak. He said, and he'll speak to you and he'll save you from death. Come on. Isn't that a great passage right there? Don't look for pride in others. Here's another one. Don't look for pride in others. Examine yourself and your state in life. Look at where you are and stop looking. You can't see pride in yourself when you're always looking at it for someone else. Don't overreact. Ooh, this is a big one. Don't overreact when God shows you pride in your heart. We all have it as a part of our flesh. It's all a part of us. Every one of us. So don't panic. Oh, I'm no good. I'll never be what God wanted me to be. I might as well quit the ministry. Oh. Stop. The devil would love that. Don't get under condemnation. Realize, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for showing me. I'm going to work with me to fix this, Lord. Out of my life. That's what it is. That's how good God is. Next, last one right here, I think. Yeah. Begin to consider others, right? And finally, assume the best of people. Assume the best. Isn't that what Corinthians says about love? Love always assumes the best. It's easy to assume the worst. Start assuming the best. Yeah, you know what? They didn't mean it that way. I'm not going to take it that way. They didn't know how that hurt me, and I'm going to assume the best of them. Assume the best. Close your Bible.